Miracle Nutrition Detective Agency, Hardy White speaking. How can I help you?
Yes, I need to hire a detective. I have a terrible problem. I don't know if you can help me. Maybe mm-hmm. you can.
Yeah, maybe I can do something for you, Mac.
Yeah, well, it's very urgent.
All right. I'll get on your case.
Oh, good. It's not very complicated.
You got the moolah?
Well, I could,
to
yes,
back up all my detective-aiding?
Yes, I have an adequate amount of funds that I could...
Yeah, well, we'll see.
All right, well, thank you, sir.
Don't call me, I'll call you. See?
All right.
Bye-bye, thanks for calling also.
It's Ironsides.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Ironside, no S.
It's Ironsides, you're crazy. Like the expression, old Ironsides.
No, that's Oliver Cromwell. I'm talking about Raymond Burr.
Is he the new Ironsides?
No, he's the old Ironside.
Before or after Cromwell played the part?
Look, one of these people was Lord Protector of England in the 17th century, and the other was a TV detective in the 60s. You can't be both.
Oh, that's a fine message you're sending children, that you can't be both.
You can't be both Cromwell and Raymond Burr.
Just watch me.
I'm watching.
Okay, it's not super easy, but humans are remarkable. And if a young kid came to me and said, I want to be Ironsides and take over England and the San Francisco police force, I'd say go for it.
The reason the detective is called Ironsides is because he's in a wheelchair. He has sides of iron.
One more time. His name is Ironside, singular, and it's his surname, and it has nothing to do with the wheelchair.
Weird coincidence, then.
Wheelchairs aren't iron anyway. Why isn't he called Aluminum Sides?
It's Aluminum Side, singular, and he's a rapper.
Oh, you guys are killing me.
Anyway, the point I was trying to make earlier was like Ironside or Sides, we get together and solve mysteries.
Yeah, deep mysteries like the names of fictional TV characters.
No, deep mysteries like this. Look.
Area socialite missing. What's this?
It's a mystery. And we're going to solve it.
How are we going to solve it?
Oh, this is a fine time to give up. We haven't even started. Why ask people to trust us to keep them safe and protected from wrongdoing if we're quitters? We have a sacred trust with the public to serve, to uphold, to go where no person of whatever gender has ever gone in pursuit of rain, snow, justice, and dignity. We, sir, are the United States Police.
We are not. And there is no such thing.
How can we not be something that doesn't even exist? See, I ripped you to shreds.
If there were a HuffPo article about this, it would say, Watch Lou completely eviscerate Hardy White's dumb opinion.
Are you done with all your negativity now, Hardy?
Go on.
Let me read this. Area socialite missing. A Miss Elena Missing from Mohawl, New Jersey has disappeared. The socialite and heiress was last seen at a fundraiser for Senate candidate Les Phillips and was seen leaving the scene behind some scenery. Although there are no signs of foul play, police are still considering this a serious missing person case and a potential kidnapping, since the missing woman had received treats in the past.
I think it's threats.
Whatever. Doesn't change the gist of the story.
So, how are we supposed to solve this case if the police can't?
First, how do you know we aren't the police?
That's easy. We aren't.
Okay. But if we were, would we just sit here and let that poor woman suffer? That's not the Butchie and Lou I know. Hardy, maybe.
Come on, cut that out.
Look, what's it hurt to take a little look and maybe we can help? Collectively, we've watched more hours of 70s police shows than anyone on Earth.
Well, that's true.
Butchie, how many episodes of Rockford Files have you seen?
I've seen ones they didn't even know they made.
And Hardy, you're an acknowledged expert in Mod Squad, Mannix, and Columbo.
I know a little about fictitious police work, yes.
We can do this. And I have a clue that no one else has.
What's that?
Elena Missing was once heard listening to Jethro Tull's single, A Hunting Girl.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's right, Butchie. A hunting girl.
So,
we know she was a Tull fan. The first thing we do is scour all the Jethro Tull fan groups. In fact, we need Butchie to go undercover to all the fan groups in the United States.
What makes you think she was in some fan group? I listen to Jethro Tull, and I'm not in any group.
Hardy, in this business, there are no blind alleyways, just blind alley cats.
I have no idea what that means. But look, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. The first thing we need to do is swing by that venue where the Senate fundraiser was and get a good look. Then maybe we talk to some people who were there.
Don't you think the police did that?
Probably.
So why don't we start at the other end of the possibility scale and go to Scotland, to the Robert Burns Museum, and try to trace Jethro Tull's inspiration for the song One Brown Mouse?
I like the way you think, Lou.
Thanks, Butchie.
It's insane and confusing and illogical, and it makes Hardy frustrated, which is the main part I like.
I know you want to help, Lou, but I really think the police have this case taken care of.
Hardy, Elena is my cousin.
Lou, I had no idea. I'm so sorry.
I promised my uncle I'd look out for her, and now she's disappeared. Look, I know I'm not very smart or don't have good detectiving skills, but I feel like I owe it to her and Uncle, whose name I forgot, to try and do something.
Okay, Lou, I hear you. Let's visit that venue. Where was the fundraiser?
At a place called Again with the Pizza. It's an all-you-can-eat Italian food place.
Well, I'm no Ironside.
Or sides.
But darn it, sometimes you just have to try to do things for which you are unqualified, knowing that you might badly destroy those who are trying to help.
Like I always say, if you kill someone with kindness, it's the kindness people remember, not their own death at the hands of some smothering angel.
Load up the van, Lou. We have a case to solve.
Smeecha, cleecha, weecha. What kind of pizza do you want to eat, sir?
Hi. We don't really need any pizza today. We're looking for someone who was here during the political fundraiser the other night.
Oh, you're going to have to speak to the owner, Tony. Tony, there's people.
What's all the racket? Who are you people?
Hi, Mr. Tony.
Yes, I'm Tony again.
Tony again? Oh, hence the name of the store, Again with the Pizza. That's your last name.
Oh, you're clever. Yes, I changed my name to Again to force the pun.
Well, what's your real name?
Buffet. But who wants to know?
Well, I'm a detective. Detective...
Whitebottom.
Detective Whitebottom, eh?
Well, I guess so.
We're citizen detectives, and we're here working on the case of the missing woman.
All I did was rent the place to the Senate campaign and make some pizza. I was in the back the whole time until they left and I mopped the place.
When you were mopping the place, did you notice anything unusual?
Just that the mop is a very inefficient means of cleaning the floor, and it's unusual that we haven't come up with better technology in all these years.
Look, I got a brother-in-law who works for O'Cedar, and they work hard, man. They try.
None of this is helpful.
Well, there is one thing.
What?
I found this.
It's a membership card for a Jethro Tull fan club.
I knew it!
And there's something written on the back. 8 o'clock Frisbee.
A.M. or P.M.?
Doesn't say.
Maybe it's a shopping list. Like there's an 8 o'clock coffee. Maybe it's a reminder to pick up a 8 o'clock brand Frisbee.
But Frisbee is copyrighted by Wham-O.
Yeah, you have to say flying disc to be generic.
It's also a surname.
I don't even think it says Frisbee. I think it says Brisbane.
Brisbane? Like Australia?
We can't go to Australia.
Well, since we can't go to Australia, we must disregard this interpretation of the facts since we'd not be able to pursue it.
That's a good point.
So, let's just say it says Frisbee because that we can deal with.
Exactly.
So maybe she was to meet someone at the fan club at 8 to play Frisbee.
Man, are you sharp.
So all we have to do to find the kidnapper is to go to the address at 8 o'clock.
And how do you know the card was hers?
Because I happen to know she was a Jethro Tull fan.
But so am I.
Oh, yeah, and me too. Hey, my fan club card.
You can't have this. It's evidence. We need this to find the missing girl. When the case is solved, maybe you can get your card back.
Thanks. Well, you've all been very helpful. Lou, where are we headed? What's the address on the card?
It says Aqua Lounge, 123 Thick Brick Street, Rock Island, New Jersey. Well, I hope you find her, Detective White Bottoms. It's just White Bottom. No, never mind. It's locked. It's not open.
Well, if she was meeting someone here for Frisbee, maybe they were just going to meet outside.
What if the appointment was already passed? What if this is an old card and she already met somebody here days ago?
I thought of that. But why wouldn't she have gone back and written on the card, "I've already done this," so she wouldn't accidentally do it again?
True.
No, I have a hunch that whoever turns up is someone we'll want to talk to.
Quiet, there's somebody coming. He's unlocking the front door. Oh, it's the kid from the pizza shop. I knew it.
Lou, wait. Don't go anywhere. If he has her in there and we spook him, it could be bad for Elena.
Who?
Your cousin.
My cousin Elena.
Yeah, the missing girl.
Oh, sorry.
He's in. What now?
Well, one of us should disguise as a Jethro Tull fan and go up to the door.
What era?
What?
What era Tull? Late, early? I don't think I could pretend to be a fan of the more hobbity-sounding stuff. I like the harder junk.
I'll do it. I got us into this. I should take the risk.
Well, that's what we were thinking, honestly.
Cover me.
Okay.
How?
I have no idea. Just
don't want to be a fat man. People would think that I was just good fun.
Oh, hey. You're one of the detectives from earlier.
But I'm not here as a detective, but as a Tull fan like yourself.
Well, to be honest, I'm not a huge Tull fan. This is my friend Space, and he lets my band practice here.
Oh, cool.
You can come hang if you want. Maybe that girl will turn up.
Thanks. What's the name of your band?
Surreal combination of words that you accidentally said while describing your coffee maker and thought that sounds like a band name.
Man, that's long.
Yeah. People call us Wheezing Aroma Monster for short.
All right.
There's iced coffee in the mini fridge. Help yourself. We're going to get back to it.
Sweet. Nice setup they have here. Cool clubhouse. I could tolerate these guys for a few minutes while I case the joint. Wow, lots of crazy stuff on the walls. Ivory, endangered animal parts, Egyptian antiquities. Hey, what's in this room? Holy cow! It's a bunch of kidnapped people tied up! Yeah, but none of them is Elena. This might be a blind alley.
Did you say blind alley?
Blind alley, maybe.
Blind alley, maybe. I love it. What a great band name. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Blind Alley, maybe.
Hey, y'all sound great, but I need to split like an overcooked sausage. Catch you later.
Hey, Lou, you're back. You learn anything?
No, I went over that place with a flea comb and nothing.
Well, while you were gone, I discovered something that might crack this whole case wide open.
What is it, Butch?
I took a better look at that newspaper article. Turns out it's from 10 years ago. So I went to the online archives and looked it up. Apparently, our missing woman was found only a few days later, vacationing with some handsome rich playboy in the Bahamas. That made me think. I bet she's listed in the phone book. And sure enough, bingo, here's her address.
Wow, this is just the kind of clue we need, Butch.
Thanks, guys.
The address is near here.
I feel like we're gonna find her.
Don't get too excited, Lou, but I will say this. If we find her, it was the result of classic detective work.
I'm a 1930s detective cliche. Boom, dong, 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 dong. Sitting in my cliche office with my cliches propped up on my cliche. Boom, boom, ba, dum, ba, dum. When in sachets, a cliche. She looks at me with cliche clip. Hey, friends, don't you sometimes feel, I always have, that you're a detective? Boom, boom. That's why the idea of being a detective is so tired and worn out. Boom, boom. Every show ever. Even if a TV show or a story or anything has nothing to do with 1940s detectiving, they will somehow work it in. Why? Because this is the, I believe, this is the most solid metaphor
for man's search for the mystery of life. We are all detectives trying to solve a mystery, a crime, trying to bring justice. Our very existence cries out for justice. Please solve me. We have the idea that life is a mystery that needs solving. Now, granted, sometimes in life we do need to solve mysteries, and I have actually been a detective going way back to when I was little. I can remember an incident, and I believe maybe I was about 7 years old or so, where my mother came to me and she said, "My jewelry's missing. Some of my jewelry is missing." And I said, "I believe I can crack this case." And I did a little detective work. I did a little sniffing around. You know, I had maybe a little junior detective kit with a fingerprint kit in there. I don't know whether I used that or not. But I actually figured it out. And I came to her and I said, "I figured out what happened. Your son was playing pirate. Okay? And he needed some jewel, pirate treasure, to bury in the backyard. And he wrapped it up in a towel and he buried it in the backyard." And she said, "Go get it, you idiot." "Okay, I'll go get it. No thanks for solving it." See, it's easy to be a detective when you're also the criminal, isn't it? You can come up, I've given you the problem and the solution together. That's the kind of detective you want to go to, is make sure when you pick a detective who is the person who's done you wrong. Maybe every time you say, "I'd like you to look into what my wife is doing." My wife? So go to your wife and say that. Say, "I'd like you to be a detective and follower." So there's no better person to do it. Oh, but then the subterfuge is gone. And all this has to be done in secret. I believe the detectiving has to be done in secret, because otherwise somebody point out that you're on an idiotic quest. When I got older, I also had other opportunities to be a detective, to look into, to solve all kinds of mysteries and everything. Where's my record gone? Did you ever thought that? Say, I had, was it a Joe Walsh record or something like that, or a Bob Welsh record? And it went missing. And I was like, I hate to think it was Tim, but I think it was. Because I remember bringing the record out to show him, saying, Tim, I got a new record. Putting it on. And then I said, "I'm going to go get us some Fresca." Went into the other room to get the Fresca. I don't remember what happened at that. He might have took it. And I was convinced that Tim took my record. And so the next thing I'm going to do is I will try to get surveillance cameras into his condo. Now, I didn't quite get that far, because I found the record. I had misplaced it. But I was looking for blame. Oh, the mystery was close at hand. It was only a faux pas that I had made. We loved it. What about murder, though? Murder most foul. Isn't it interesting when we have these stories, and I would read them as children. So I love the murder mystery. It never, the fact that it was a human being had been killed and everything never really quite sunk in. You know, as the dead body or the corpse or something. I think I realized that this tale was somehow allegorical, that there was not, somebody really hadn't been murdered or something. Could you imagine taking something like In Cold Blood for fun? Oh, what happened to the family when the children were butchered and everything? But so, that's a little grim. You know what happened. But, you know, something like Agatha Christie or whatever. Which one of these? Oh, they keep dying. And it's just, it's almost like a math problem. Oh, when we take human beings out of the equation, it's just simply a math problem, isn't it? Is that how we should solve our ethics or something? Is reducing everybody to numbers? I got this little office because I was feeling bad about myself. And while I don't have any real skills, I thought that if I had some place to go every day, to go to work to, that had my name on the door, it would give my life a sort of legitimacy, you follow me?
So I rented out some very cheap office space in a very run-down old building on a really bad side of town. In a bad town. An office no one would come to anyway. You get my drift? Because of parking. If the parking was better, I could have like a music club or something. It'd be a little bit gallery, a little bit music club. I don't know. I'd have my artist friends could put things on the wall. I think just for, I couldn't pay them or anything. So I scraped the rent together, and I got this little office, and I got an old secondhand desk with a secondhand sandwich in it. Boom, 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 boom. And I got a landline phone. I got an old-style phone. It's not a princess. What's the other one? The other one with a dial. It doesn't have a dial. It has the push buttons. So it's not that old. Something like that. Like it happened in the 80s, maybe. And I'd sit there every day, and I knew I wasn't working, and I knew nobody was going to wander in my office. Doom, doom, doom. And I'd read my name on the door. And I don't know why I wrote it on the inside. It wasn't a glass door or anything. I'd just written it on the inside of the door, too. I guess to remind myself who I was. Because without any clients, I would tend to forget that I was a detective because I wasn't looking for anything. Then I realized I was looking for the ultimate thing. That's why I was doing that. That's why I was pulling that charade on myself. That's why I was posing as a detective. And again, I found the perpetrator. Who was I? I just looked in the mirror. I'm addressing the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, but I'm also telling him that he's going to be punished for the actual crime. You can change your way. Repentance and redemption are two different things. I have to take you to jail, but you can get right in jail, he said to me. Who's saying that? My reflection? Oh, that's frightening. That is frightening. That used to happen to Lewis Carroll. And I don't know whether it's some sort of hormone imbalance or I've taken some poison that I think is a medicine. But boy, sometimes I look in that mirror and I just start to heavily hallucinate. And the reflection is saying something different than me. And sometimes it's like Chuck McCann or something going, "Hi, guy," or something, bless his heart. I don't know. I see all sorts of things, the past and the future all muddled together. Oh, are you a time detective? I'd like to think so. I look forward and backward in time for answers that aren't there. I know they're not there. And I glom on to clues just because they're sexy, not because they're going to guide me towards the truth. Oh, my goodness. I did get one of those detective kits when I was a kid that had a fingerprint kit. It teaches you a skill to how to lift fingerprints. Other than police work, I don't know where that would come in handy. But what it contained is this: some baby powder and some graphite. Parents are overjoyed that there's a big jar of powdered graphite there in this kit, but I'll get around to that. So, and a little brush and some tape and some cards. Now, what you're supposed to do is when the human fingerprint touches something. If you've ever looked, I don't know if you've ever looked closely at your fingers. Maybe children nowadays, they use them so much, maybe haven't even actually looked at them. But if you look at the tip of your fingers, you'll notice that there's these little ridges in them. Are you familiar with this? So you have these little ridges, and this is what they call a fingerprint. Now, no two snowflakes are alike. And we believe now that there's some sort of correlation between the snowflake and the digits that vertebrates have. Don't quite know what it is. But therefore, you can tell who a person is by their finger, what they call fingerprint. You take the ridges, you put it on a record, you put a needle down, and it'll go, "It's just Hardy White's finger," like that, because the ridges have in them encoded information. This we all know. What you might not know is there's oil on your skin. You're an oily creature. Doesn't matter where you come from. Not just those of us from the Mediterranean and certain southern Europe, my ancestors,
My ancestors, we call them in Portugal. But you're greasy. So everybody is, all mankind. So you take your greasy fingers and you touch something, all right, like the desk of the lady you robbed. And you leave an impression on it, just like you do on all people you encounter. Just like the thief leaves an impression, so you leave an impression on me when you come into a retail store I'm working in and start complaining about the hours and everything. Lordy, I just work here. So you leave this greasy thing on there. Now, what you want to do is the next technique that you do is almost like doing a painting with glue and glitter or batik, something like that. You put down either powder or graphite, all right, depending on the color of the surface or something, and then you put tape on it, and the powder graphite will only stick, do I get this right, to the sticky parts of the oil, and then you can lift that up and you have a print of the finger. And then you can identify people like that. Now, some criminals got smart and they go, well, you know what? I'm just going to cut my hands off. And then I can rob with impunity like that. Then, ironically, like in the story Gift of the Magi, they had nothing to rob with because they had cut their very hands off. Oh, when we try to, we can't both destroy our identities and have anything to navigate the world with. We need to be individuals just to be alive, don't we? But oh my goodness, are we? I feel like when I say, oh, I feel like a detective, and then everybody does, how individual could I possibly be? Oh, I do feel like I'm alone in the universe and it's crowded. It's just like being in one of those big box stores. You go, oh, there's a lot of people here. Am I lonely? How could it be that no one is like exactly like me enough to... We couldn't have a proper discussion, I think, many of us. The first few seconds would be, you know, fine. Like, oh, this is indeed the shoe aisle. We agree. But then I think, I get this feeling our lives would diverge. Why? Because I object to the thing we're in. And I'm not sure that you do. I don't want to be in this big box store. I'd rather it was a field. That's just me. Maybe I'm primitive. Often I think, not only am I a detective, but I'm also a caveman or something. I would love to just have a world that didn't have all these closed-in spaces, offices and everything. They feel scary to me. They feel like coffins or crypts. How would you know whether you were a detective sitting in an old, crummy old office in the big city or whether you were really a corpse laying in their crypt? The desk is actually a sarcophagus, and then you have one of these, oh, like a 19th century crypt or something you walk into. It looks like a little stone house. Scary. And you're hallucinating. You think, oh, I'm still alive, and I'm a detective, but really you lay in the grave in a mausoleum. Isn't that scary? That's my new idea for children. Why do we love to scare children? There's lots of scary children's books, are there? And there's detective children's books. Why, when I was a young man, Ernest Hitchcock, the film director, he didn't really write them, but for some reason his name was on books. And they were about detectives, the three detective children. And they'd go out. One of them named Jupiter or something. I think they're all named after planets. And they'd go, and they were children, but somehow they were doing detective work. Oh, another dead body. They lived in the part of the country where you stumble upon corpses a lot. And instead of notifying authorities, they just start doing forensic work. I don't blame them. You know, it's their community. Go ahead, take responsibility. I'm going to solve these crimes. Series of cat burglaries would be fun. Get your friends together and solve them. Heck, you just have to talk to some people. And there's even movies about that, about amateur people stumbling on being detective. Detective, detective, detective. Why this constant theme? In the Bible, there's that detective character who keeps going around saying, Moses, I got a couple questions for you. Is there, though? I don't know. I'd like to. It'd be funny if he was in there. Just like some kind of angel detective. Can I speak with you for a minute? Maybe that's Ha-Satan or something. Satan the detective. Yeah, let me ask you a few questions.
About what really happened? And how do we know what really happened? They have these things called history detectives. And don't they? If they don't, they will, or something. I think they do. And they look at history. They solve something in history. And now they know the story. This is not a lie, but it's deceiving, you know, because I believe whenever you start looking at facts, you will create a story. Your mind will make a story. And so let's say you start what you call exploring a subject. You will start putting things in order, making it a narrative, and assigning cause and effect to events, and making a little thing that you can tell people about. Yes, I started looking into the life of Mrs. Mary Potter. Mary Potter is very interesting. So Mary Potter lived in Frankfort, Kentucky in 1890. Now, the interesting thing about Mary Potter is that every day she would sew a new dress. She was married to a doctor in the town. She didn't have to sew these new dresses. And when she was do you hear the BS that's popping up here? Do you see all the things that I'm omitting? All the assumptions? I'm reducing a life to this tiny little matchbox story? Oh, that's fascinating to me. You can do it on any scale that you do it, it's wrong. All biographies are wrong. So, well, those are the facts laid out. It's not, I don't believe in my heart of hearts, because, and I can prove it. You come into this life, stuff was already going on, and you got to sort of deny it so that you get your own story, right? And you know when you leave, you don't hear the last of it. Say, oh, I'm always thinking about that when a movie's coming out. Say, oh, the next Harry Potter's coming out or something. I say, oh, I know I'm going to be dead. I just know it. Now the Star Wars are like that. So I'm not going to see them all, I'm pretty sure. So I'm not going to get all the information. How could I even construct this? I got to chop it up. A story is a butchered up corpse. Fits in to be cannibalized. That's why you'll never hear me telling one. So there was this time when I was little. Yes, you will. You say, well, why are you so hard on stories, Hardy? Aren't songs just selective sound? What you want us to hear, you want to hear all the sounds of the universe at once. Can't we just pop it out and everything? Yes, but like songs then, you know, stories are something that don't occur naturally. We must acknowledge. It's something that we make up so that we're less lonely in the world. That's when we make up songs. You're sitting there alone in a field. Everybody's left you. Man, and you need something to comfort yourself, so you start to hum. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Well, maybe something more comforting than that. But you make a little order of the world, little micro order where there is macro confusion. What is that? What is that? What are you talking about, Hardy? I thought you were talking about detectiving. I will now tell you how to be a detective. It's very easy. All you have to assemble all the cliches that you read. Go read some Dashiell Hammett. Go read all stuff like that. Go back to the best one for me is Wilkie Collins' Moonstone. Why is that? Because I think I could be misremembering this, but it seems to me that Wilkie Collins got really sick while writing Moonstone, and it kind of changed things around. It changed the tone of it. And also, then he ended up working on it a really long time, so long he got sick of it. So in the middle of the detective novel, the detective quits and leaves the profession and goes and raises roses. And so somebody else takes over for a while. And at the end of the story, they basically say, it was none of that, it was just some Hindus. I'm sorry, it was a spoiler. But I was thinking, oh, this is wonderful. It's like almost like a Shaggy Dog story. I'm paying attention to all these things that I see are clues. And at the end, it just turns out to be something wholly other. Something I could have told you in the beginning. But you would have missed out on this purposeful confusion. You would have missed out on being a detective. I'm back in this office again.
It's happening with a little bit of regularity. It might be some kind of symptom of some medicine I took or something. I don't know. I got to look into that. Boom, 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 boom. Again with the mystery. Again with the detecting. Dun, 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 dun. The worst thing is... You know, being a detective and being the criminal is the best thing you can do. Do, 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 boom. Make it easy for the client. Boom, boom. But the worst thing you can do, 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 is being both the detective and the client. Dun, 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 dun. Spend all your time looking into your own mysteries. Dun, 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 dun. And that's like something chasing its tail. Ba-dum, ba-dum. You see what I'm saying? Boom. And then after a while, boom, the door closes on your office, and then it seals. Dun, 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 dun. And then you just start... You get sucked into yourself like a black hole. Oh, don't be your own client. It's okay to be a detective. That's wonderful. It's okay to be the criminal. But don't be the detective and the client. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm reaching out there to give you some advice from my detectiving school, my policing school. How do you enforce the law? What law is it that we're talking about? Some kind of Kafka thing. I'm going to just make up one law, something absurd, and then I'm going to become the sole means of enforcing it. So let's see, what's something that bothers me or makes my life worse? Perhaps staleness. I hate wasting food, all right? So when I get a cereal or something, and either people I'm with or the design of the packaging causes it to become stale. I become angry and believe an injustice has been perpetuated because this is a waste of food. That's a sin. So I'm against that. I wouldn't mind being a police force against that. And I would dress up like a superhero, something else we fantasize a lot about, being able to be the person who enforces the justice once the mystery is solved. I want to solve the mystery, and then maybe I also want to be the enforcer, and I'm going to get some kind of costume that makes me feel empowered. I'm going to get something that makes me feel like I've got some sort of external skeleton, like nothing can get at me, some sort of armor, and it'll just coincidentally be form-fitting so you can see my beautiful body, or perhaps the uniform itself will make me look beautiful and appealing physically. I am Heart of Man. I'm not that hearty. My name, I feel, Hearty White, is ironic. If you don't, I don't know if you see it that way. So it's literally irony, actually. So, what are you really? Oh, some kind of frail rainbow. Some kind of shattery, rainbow shatter. That's some kind of marijuana product or something, I bet. Somebody said, well, we're selling rainbow shatter right now. How about that? Or maybe it's my favorite pony, my pony preference, or whatever those are called. Oh, bless our hearts, how we are so creative the way that we approach this life. It's a crazy thing. We don't know what we're doing. And yes, you are allowed to make it whatever you want. I believe, in my heart of hearts, that life gives you a book. Is it a blank book, Hardy? No, there's a bunch of stuff in it. But I can tell you how to make it blank, and then you can start it. Well, why would I want to do that? Erase the past. That's somebody else's stuff. So life gives you a book, and then you bleach out the pages somehow with your naivete. And then you can fill them in with whatever wonderful thing you are. Create yourself in whatever image you want. It possibly won't fit in with the rest of the book series, but that's all right. Oh, or is it? Do we need to be consistent? I don't know. I don't know. I've tried to go through every episode of my show and say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to catalog them all somehow. But why would I do that? So you could go to the library, and they're already cataloged with names and everything. That's how I order. That's how I file in cabinets of my detective agency, with evidence in them. I have an evidence room. Oh, what is your evidence room? Some people call it a cabinet of curiosity, a curio cabinet. Some people, their evidence room are photo albums. And they say, look at this. This photo album is proof of the generations.
There's my grandparents. And they're with, look, they're with my parents are young. And now here my parents are older. And they're with children. I can prove what's going on because I have the evidence here that this has happened before. Oh, that's compelling to me. That solves the doesn't solve the case, but that moves us forward, doesn't it? Oh, what's in your cabinet of curiosity? Skulls? I do. Mine aren't real, but I'm fascinated with skulls of all sorts of, mainly vertebrates, because they seem to have the most skulls. But just the beauty of it. You know, the skull is such a thing. You see, that's a skull, but they really are all different. If they weren't different, then you couldn't go up to it, cut out erasers of different lengths, glue them on there, then put clay of different thicknesses on there, pop in some fake eyeballs, and have a likeness of the person whose skull that once was. And the reason you can do that is because the topography of the skull is unique, just like a fingerprint. And if you look really closely, if you stare at your fingerprints, and you've had enough to drink, you can see little skulls in there. And they're going, Jacques, like that. They're not really. That can happen. What are you drinking, Artie? I don't know, man. It was in a jar, first of all, which is the, that's the big red flag there. And then you've heard like tequila with a worm in it. This was in a jar, and it had lightning bugs at the bottom. So I don't know whether, what I imagine is they grabbed any old jar. It's also got holes in the top, which is depressing. So I've just been sprinkling on myself like that, and so I'm not drinking anymore because it's not making me feel good. By the way, I'm trying to get physically fit so that I can be both superhero and detective and the fella that runs the gym where the superhero police force goes and stuff. That guy. I don't want to really be on the force as much. I want to help him out with fitness. So I'm trying to get more exercise, and I'm wearing superhero costumes just so I can say, hey, look, that I got to do something about that gut. You know, I've been hiding it under lots of clothes that are flattering, but I want to see it make me do something about it. Isn't that vanity? No, it's not vanity. Like I say, I got to have the energy. I've got to be in shape to pursue this justice that my detective agency sends me on. Every detective agency usually also has muscle that goes out there. We call him that because all his skin was pulled off in an accident, and he's just exposed muscle. He looks like something that you'd demonstrate in an anatomy class. You can see, now you can see the two heads of the bicep, why they call it bicep. Like those things, they have those people that who have been flayed on purpose, I suppose, and then coated in a sort of clear polyosamine, and then posed doing certain things, like throwing a football or a flying disc. And we go there to look at the beautiful anatomy of man, and that's not why we go there, because oh man, dead bodies. It's dead bodies. It's creepy. It's a memento mori. Remember, you die. How do I know I'm not dead now, Hardy? If you were dead, you would be imagining that you were listening to a radio show where a fella would be telling you about how he thinks he's a detective, but he's clearly not qualified to solve your problems. And yet, you may accidentally walk into his office one day under the notion that he can help you because possibly you found him in the phone book as you were looking for detectives, problem solvers, and you saw Hardy White listed. That sounds like a good name. I know it from a loaf of bread, so it must be good and wholesome. And then you go to that office one day, and you say, Hardy White, I need your help. And I say, tell me the details of your case. While I put my feet up, and I'm going to pretend to smoke. I don't, because I know the health risks. But wow, what a fantastic affectation. I wish I could, like, it looks so, it's still, I hate to say it, I know I'm exposing my ignorance, how cool it looks when they light that cigarette with their fedora pulled down and they light that match on the bottom of their shoe and then they come up and they light that that cigarette under their fedora, and then the match lights the brim of the fedora, and it catches on fire, and then they go, like that. Water, water, water. And then I guess, I don't know, where the curlier one throws the water on them. Right? Even the Three Stooges have been detectives. Everybody has. The notion of hiring somebody else or looking to someone else to solve your mysteries it's not timeless. I guess we can pinpoint the origin. It must be sort of timeless, though, right? I don't know when it became a profession, but it's certainly captured everybody's attention as a sort of an alameda, allegora, and that it stands for something. So, should we be our own detective? Should we be detectives for other people? What are you saying? What's the clear message? If my message is clear, let me go back and do something for you. All right? Let me give me that wet rag and let me go and wash out whatever I said. I didn't mean to say anything clearly to you. I apologize if I did. I think that's very rude to be direct. Gotta talk around things. My goodness. If I'm meeting you for the first time, I wouldn't just like start grabbing at your parts or something. Say we'd like to sit down. Maybe eye contact would be the first big goal of meeting. All right, looking at your eyes. That's good. We're going to start there. All right. Oh, my friends, you don't need a costume or fedora. You boom, 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 ba-doom. But I'll tell you what you do need. Is a jazz trio behind you. Boom, to give you that period feel. To take you where you need to go in your imagination. See, that's, oh, there's cars. Beep, beep, outside. I know what that's like to sit in the city. But not working in the city, because I could never get a job. I just visit the city every once in a while. And I know that feeling of sitting inside an apartment all by yourself. Because your friends are at work, because they do have jobs. And you're sort of too lazy to just venture out on your own because you're from the country and you think, oh man, this city is intimidating and I don't want to go just wandering around by myself like that. Something might happen. So you just sit in that apartment, beep, beep, listening to the city sounds. Yeah, you're escaping. And you're a ghost. I can hear them, but they can't see me. Now I can look out the window and I can see them and they can't see me. That's the human condition sometimes, isn't it? What if we're in actual... I wonder what actual detective agencies are like. I've always wondered. Or do they exist? People work out of their home probably now. And what are detectives? Probably just police that either retired or were kicked off the force for doing something heinous. So, yeah, I'll do it privately. And I guess I was always thought, well, in reality, they just follow people around for domestic things, for divorce cases and everything. Yep, he was over there at his house. Here's the pictures. Right? It's not anything. You wouldn't hire anybody from... Police would be working on a murder, right? So you wouldn't also go to Sherlock Holmes and say, well, the police are working on it, but I thought that I would hire an agency to work at cross purposes or something. No, that doesn't happen. So I guess in reality, it's all just small things. Just use it to unearth unpleasant truths, people's lies. Looking for people's lies. Oh my goodness, they're so easy to find though, aren't they? I think some people, they leave a trail to their lives. Like Hansel and Gretel crumbs. They want to be found out. They want to be found out. They're trying to manipulate the world. And to do that, you must obfuscate. But in reality, they know that if they were to try to dam less rivers and to just float down more rivers, then things would be easier. It's when we try to dam them up and harness the energy of the problem. Float down that river with me. Come on, get on a raft. Do this. I'm going to do a mental exercise. You are sitting in your small, you've seen these detective agency apartments or offices, right? From old noir films. So imagine a tiny little office with a desk in it and a front door and maybe one chair, and your feet are up on the desk and you're sitting in this office, and maybe there's a window behind you, a window out into the city, beep, beep. Now you sit there for a minute, and as you're sitting there, the walls fall away. They literally fall down. The roof disappears. And the floor is the same. You still have your desk, but now you're on a raft. You're on a raft on a river. It's almost like that Huck Finn story. You're on one of those kind of rafts, floating down the river. And the river is taking you gently somewhere. Yes, you are a floating detective. You are the floating detective on a raft. Huck Finn. Dashiell Hammett. Just going down the river. No real mystery to solve, but always in the state of mind of solving mysteries. Oh, my friends, what is it all about? What is it all about? It's all about the detectiving. You will never find the cause of the crime.
Oh, maybe Mr. Smith killed his wife, Mrs. Smith. And you can prove that for the sake of achieving justice. But you can never figure out really why Mr. Smith killed Mrs. Smith. You would have to trace the cause and effect back to the beginning of the universe. Who knows quite why things happen? There's too many clues. All you can really say is if it did or not. Everything else is sort of up for interpretation. And I choose to interpret it recklessly. I choose to interpret it fictitiously. I choose to put my feet up in my detective office. I don't have a badge. I'm not pretending I'm somebody I'm not. I'm just saying I will do this job for you, and I'm incompetent. So we're just playing at it. When I was young, that's all I really wanted, to have an identity, even if my profession or something was just going through the motions. Really, I thought that when I was young, and you can play at it. That's why it's so good. I'm going to play doctor, play restaurant. Oh, then doing it for real is another thing. Oh, my goodness. So the faker, the better, really. Realistic's for the birds. Oh, my goodness. Trying to have a real restaurant. That's crazy. You can't do it without dangerous drugs, usually. I'm serious. Some things are impossible. Your imagination created them. Bless you. I'm so sorry that they can't be real. But they don't need to be real. Come fly with me in some sort of chamber made out of light and brain. We can dance around in it like it's a bouncy chamber. The kind of, what do we call those things that you flip? Bouncy castle. Bouncy castle. I ruined my song because I couldn't remember. Bouncy castle. I'm still not convinced that's what it's called. Bouncy palace? It can't be. But that's where I want you to come. I want you to feel free. Oh, is that your 1 hour every week of miracle nutrition? That sounds good. Is that going to fill me up? If you let it, it will. That's the miracle. That I'm giving you nothing, but it seems to sustain you. It seems to fill you up, my friend. Oh, if I could pretend to solve your mystery. Oh, that'll be just to quiet your heart.
You come to my detective agency. You say, Hardy, does the world hate me? I'll say, I'll look into it. $300 a day plus expenses. I go out. I come back. I say, no, the world doesn't hate you. Go home. Right? You like that dance. That's a fine fiction. So let me tell you this. Quiet your heart. It's all right. Your case is being handled. So there's nothing to worry about. We're going to solve all these mysteries, and it's going to be okay. You're not going to be You're not going to be cheated or swindled, and you will get justice. Because I want to pass it on. I work with it, like I said earlier. I partner with a superhero agency. And so, we can all facets of the job sort of cradle to grave with your problem. You bring it to me. You create your problem. You bring it to me. I kill it for you, basically. Oh, my goodness. Where does the time go? Well, it's interesting you should say that. A lot of people don't realize that they could recycle a lot of the time that they're wasting. You can save it. Everything that you do has a little number on the bottom, and it tells you just how much you mucked up that time or how pure it is. The purer the time, it can be recycled. It can be made over. We can use it. You can put it in some kind of cubby every week. You could stick that away, and you can get that time back and use it for something. Make it into something new. It's not ruined. Don't throw it into the landfill. Keep that time. Time. I like watches. I like things that remind me that I'm making forward motion, no matter what I do. That's the beauty of a river. I can go to sleep and I know I'm going to be far from where I was. Am I going where I want to go? Nah. I'll just say I wanted to go there. That way everything is perfectly, perfectly, perfectly aligned. Oh, my friend, time goes by. We can't get it by. You can slow it down, though using your mind. Or nitrous oxide. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. How to speed up or slow down time. We know that it's a relative feeling. Time flies when you're having fun. Time drags when you're not having fun. And then you have to know when you're having fun and what's fun and what's not fun. So then when you know, you can adjust time. That's the problem. That's why a lot of people can't speed up or slow down time, because they don't know what's fun. They don't know what makes them happy. And if you don't know what makes you happy, how can I make you happy? So it's got to start with you. You got to be the first one. So you solve the mystery. You bring the mystery to me. You tell me what you think. I listen. Then I go off and I pretend to independently solve it. And then I give you back your own solution. That's the way I'd like things to work. So if you want to partner with me, I love the word partner. Oh, howdy, partner. It reminds me of the Peter Sellers movie, The Party, where he says into the intercom, howdy, partner, Bertie Num Num, like that. And we all know what he meant. Oh, bless so many of you. If you all are lonely, just know that I'm always at the end of every show, the beginning of every show, and during every show, I'm calling out to those whose hearts are lonely, those whose hearts are broken, those who are struggling. And I know that includes everybody. If you're not struggling now, you will be. Oh, I love y'all, the pre-dead, the post-born, the people who are alive when I was alive. Thank y'all so much for listening to me. I'm Hardy White. This is Miracle Nutrition, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope 91.9 in the magical Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. You can also access any other archive. You can say archives or archives is acceptable. The archives, archivist, is acceptable. Just go ahead and say it. And bless you. Are you listening to shows and everything? Oh, I'm happy to be with you. And I will see you again next week.
first found the Lord. The Reverend asked me, do you want to become a member of this church? And I said, yes, sir. He asked me, have you been baptized? I said, yes, sir. He asked me, have you been to the water? And I said, yes, sir. Somebody from the crowd stood up right there and said, I offer motion that this brother become a member of this church. Oh, Lordy. Oh, Lord. And the Reverend stopped service right there and asked me, do you want to testify? And I told him these words. I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.